Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, yesterday when I reached for a Kleenex, I thought, oh, you know, I wonder where those Kleenex started. And then that led me to think about, well, where did handkerchiefs start? You know, it's always a, I don't know, maybe that doesn't make you curious, but sometimes when I pick up things like that, I go, oh, when did that all start? And where did it come from? Who thought it up, etc.? Well, we will talk about Kleenex more specifically, but let's talk about handkerchiefs first. Of course, that's nothing in our modern times, nothing that you would remember. Some historians think the handkerchief originated in China and was first used to shield a person's head from the sun. And the statues back in the Chao Dynasty, 1000 BC, show figures holding decorative pieces of cloth. So, you know, before it was called a handkerchief, it was called a kerchief because it was not used to wipe anybody's nose. It was used for lots of other things, and one of those main ones was to cover a person's head. So in the 15th century, European traders returned from China with a great number of peasants' headscarves, which Europeans appropriated as fashion accessories. So now think about, if there's ever been a handkerchief in your life, what significance that has held? What did you use it for besides perhaps blowing your nose or wiping your kid's nose or whatever like we used to do? Handkerchiefs became symbols in so many different ways. And you think about some of the portraits that go back to those early days, and you'll see men holding a very fancy kerchief in their hand. You see women doing the same thing, and then you start looking at all of the symbols. Remember, like the 1800s and so on, and maybe later, how women dropped their handkerchief to attract a man, and it went far beyond that. There was a whole language of flirting developed, which survived well into the Victorian times. It was said that Queen Elizabeth I carried handkerchiefs embroidered with gold and silver thread and created a whole vocabulary of hanky gestures for dealing with her staff. And you can go on into more current kinds of times, maybe movies and so on, where handkerchiefs were used in various ways. In Roman times, actually, the waving the handkerchief was a positive symbol. It was a way of cheering on whoever happened to be in the Colosseum. And that continued, into Spain in the bullfights and so on. You know, I think of the movies with the troops when they left in the old Westerns where they held up the handkerchief to show that they were surrendering, or not to fire at least, that they were, this was sort of a sign of let's stop firing at each other. But also handkerchiefs have been an important part of movies. Somebody mentioned An Affair to Remember. If you've seen that movie, that's a tearjerker where you probably need a handkerchief. And when people were crying in the movies, they, you know, had a handkerchief they held to their eyes, or this one I don't remember seeing, but I'm sure it's somewhere in a movie, a Marine tucking his wife's perfumed hanky over his heart. So there are lots of history, lots of stories related to hankies and handkerchiefs. And some people, of course, collect them because of the stories behind them. During the Depression, a handkerchief was often the only new item a woman could afford to enhance her wardrobe. So a woman would change her outfit by changing her hanky. Interesting. Continuing on through World War II, the hanky played a role in fashion. In addition to the silk stockings, so our troops could have parachutes. I mean, women gave up silk stockings. Women would forego the pleasure of a new hat or blouse and instead opt for a wardrobe of handkerchiefs, mostly costing less than 50 cents. And everywhere you looked, hankies could be seen peeking from breast pockets or draped over a belt as fashion accessory. And manufacturers advertised a handkerchief of the month in Vogue magazine in order to catch attention. One of the things that happened during that time was the perfection of color fast dyes, and so there was a vast array of cheerful colors allowed artists to really get into designing these handkerchiefs. They weren't just a plain color, they became works of art, and the best designers of the day included that in their fashion lines. So handkerchiefs, you know, were, you might also say, a part of the economy, because when women especially couldn't afford something fancier, they had a handkerchief. Also, handkerchiefs were tied to the wrist, threaded through the top buttonhole of a suit, or popped from the side pocket of a handbag. So they were used in lots of ways as exceptions. And handkerchiefs were often employed for advertising in political campaigns. One historian claims that Martha Washington created a handkerchief to help promote the election of her husband. So, you know, we go back and forth in time here in terms of the history of the handkerchief. Apparently, she had George Washington for President hankies printed for distribution at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. And to this day, handkerchiefs are printed depicting both Republican and Democratic parties, as well as coronation handkerchiefs for royalty. There is even a handkerchief that contains King Edward's abdication speech. So, a way of communicating and also thinking about history. So, as we mentioned, the birth of Kleenex, of course, made a big difference in handkerchiefs. But before we talk more about handkerchiefs, I just wanted to mention that for the collectors, the heyday of hankies flourished in the 1950s, not so long ago. Clever, creative commercial artists were given free rein on the small canvas and allowed to sign their work and see it featured at Lord & Taylor, Neiman Marcus, and other specialty stores. So hundreds of new designs were produced annually, providing lots of choices for collectors today. And perhaps if you are of the generation that used handkerchiefs, always had one handy to stem tears, to wipe a kid's nose, or maybe the kids used, maybe it was a red bandana that was meant for a handkerchief, really. Maybe they used it to pick up stuff and used it kind of as a make-do basket. When you don't have anything else, you could always use a handkerchief, kind of like a woman's apron, actually, used for many, many different purposes. And I know for a long time I had a little collection, because it was also a way for people to give inexpensive gifts in remembrance. You know, you picked one out that seemed to go for the person, and that was the gift, probably and possibly never to be used. Some of them were made out of nylon. You know, there was no way you're going to use it as a handkerchief, but it was given as a gift. So I'm guessing there are some of you listeners who have some tucked away somewhere as part of your collection or a part of your memory keeping. Well, as we started to say, Kleenex kind of did away with the uses for handkerchiefs, and probably a little healthier for us too. It was in 1924, the Kleenex brand of facial tissue was first introduced. Now, it was not made at that time to blow your nose on. It was invented as a means to remove cold cream. So early advertisements linked Kleenex to Hollywood makeup departments and sometimes included endorsements from movie stars such as Helen Hayes. And it showed them using the Kleenex to remove their theatrical makeup with cold cream. In 1926, Kimberly-Clark Corporation, the manufacturer of Kleenex, became intrigued by the number of letters from customers stating that they used the product as a disposable handkerchief. So a test was conducted by Peoria, Illinois newspaper. Ads were run depicting the two main uses of Kleenex, either as a means to remove cold cream or as a disposable handkerchief for blowing noses. And the readers were asked to respond. Results showed that 60% used Kleenex tissue for blowing their noses. So In 1930, Kimberly Clark had changed the way they advertised Kleenex, and sales doubled, proving again the customer is right, the customer gets what they want. In 1928, before that major publicity, the familiar pop-up tissue cartons were perforated openings were introduced. So Kleenex became just a way of life. And during World War II, though, rations were placed on the production of paper products and the manufacturing of Kleenex tissues was limited. However, the technology used in the tissues was applied to the field bandages and dressings used during the war effort, giving the company a big boost in publicity. So Kleenex goes on, and whether that's what we call it, whether it happens to be a different brand or whether it's actually Kleenex, Kleenex has become the standby word for disposable tissues. Until next time, here's something from Charlie Schultz from Peanuts. Learn from yesterday, live for today, look to tomorrow, and rest this afternoon.